let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in this time of worship together, and it is my joy to welcome all of you into this time. Whether you are here in the sanctuary or you're joining us over live stream, we know that the Spirit of Christ unites us, and it's good to be together. It's also a joy to welcome you and invite you to register your attendance. Let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping on live stream, there should be a link on the screen that you can click on to register. If you're here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads at the end of each row, if you want to pass those down and back again. And if you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, please share a mailing address or an email address with us, and we'll be sure and reach out to you and begin the conversation about how we can together serve God in this community. If you are a college student, I want you to know that every Sunday after worship at noon in the narthex, right at the end back of the sanctuary, our college students gather and go to lunch together. Now, I know it's Parents Weekend at Vanderbilt, so you may want your parents to take you out to a really nice brunch today, but next week, come back and you can go together as a group with college students. We have a couple of exciting events coming up, church-wide events that I want to tell you about. Next Saturday, we will be hosting the artist James Hei-Chi. He has done a lot of the bulletin covers over the past few years that we have. He is a Chinese-American who has a beautiful faith story to share. He has 26 works of art that will be upstairs in the fourth-story theater. And from Saturday morning from 9 to noon, he'll be sharing some of his story and how he expresses his faith through his artwork. So we hope you'll come and join us for that. Then the following Sunday, the 25th, we have our churchwide picnic from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and that will be at Richland Park. So mark your calendars and plan to come and play a little cornhole and can jam and eat good food and share in fellowship with one another. Finally, we have good news that our organ is mostly working. Right, Matt? Right. It made it through the 8:45 service. It was beautiful. So we are going to be using it this morning, and it's the texts today are about things lost being found, so we found the organ again. But we are ready at any moment in case it glitches out again. We'll pivot and move to the piano. So I want to give you a heads up that if that happens, just keep on singing. But we are very grateful for all the work and attention that's been given to this, and we're hopeful that we'll be at 100% next week. With that, let us open our hearts and minds to God this day, who is seeking out the lost and inviting all of us to the great party of the heavenly kingdom.
As a shepherd seeks a lost sheep. Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found. Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are valued and loved. Rejoice over one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry are held within God's unconditional love. Merciful God, you seek us out when we have lost our way. We seem to do often. We follow the crowd and take the path of least resistance. We turn from you, seeking our own will and our own comfort. We forget our neighbor, we ignore injustice, and we cause harm to your creation. Have mercy on us, God. According to your loving kindness, help us put the past behind us and move forward in ways that are just, merciful, and loving. May we be the people who go out looking for those in need of kindness and justice. May we be people who celebrate the inherent value of every person. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Lesson from the Gospel, Luke 15, 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "The fellow welcomes sinners to eat with them." So he told them the parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave 99 in the wilderness to go after one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous person who needs no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, or search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God to the people of God. Amen.
Invite the 3- and 4-year-olds and third graders and their families who are receiving Bibles to come up to the front and line up along the rail. And while they're coming up, can you line up right there on the rail, Martha? Can you step right back that way? Can you go stand there? Yeah. And then while they're doing that, I want to point out to the rest of you that we now have children's Bibles in every pew in our sanctuary for anyone to use and borrow and flip through during worship. And we hope that they will bring new imagery and story to our scripture as we gather and worship together. So today is our Bible Sunday, and we are celebrating two milestones with our preschoolers, our threes and fours, who will receive a story Bible with all the pictures and a Bible that they can grow into and read together as a family. And our third graders will receive their third grade Bible, which is a long-standing tradition in the church and at West End in particular, that they can now read on their own and discover for themselves. So I'm going to call the names of our threes and four-year-olds first. And when I call your name, you're going to come to the middle, and one of our pastors will give you your Bible. And then I'll do the third graders after the threes and fours, okay? Sylvia Bibb. Lila Del Vicario. Martha Galletti. Clara Mueller Evans. And Laurel Short. Congrats to all our threes and fours. And our third graders, Clara Coldiron, Lucy McGuire, and Andrew Sterling. So let's bless these children together. Receive the Word of God, learn its stories, and study its words. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. They tell us of God's love, and they tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. Holy God, we thank you for each of these children before us. We rejoice in this step in their faith journey. We love them, and we ask your blessing on them and on the adults who care for them. Lord, may they all experience your love as they discover together the stories of Scripture. We pray that the stories will light up their paths and help them grow to be the people you created them to be. We ask that your word would live in their hearts all their days. Amen. So congratulations to all our families who have received Bibles. You can get, those of you who are older than 3, 4, and 5 can head back to your seats, but do make sure you stop by Reed Hall afterwards to get a gift bag. And if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can meet me at the door to go to Children's Church. Thank you.
It's exciting to get a new Bible, and I would encourage all of you, grown-ups and children alike, this might be a good time for you to look for a new Bible, because starting in January, we're going to spend most of 2023 making our way through the Bible together. So we're going to kind of read all of it together. So if you needed an excuse to go get a new Bible, today's a good day to start looking into that. About 20 years ago, when David and I were first together, one of the favorite restaurants we had was called Mirror in 12th South. Anybody remember going to Mirror way back in the day? Yeah, loved Mirror. There was this really cool woman named Stephanie who worked there. I don't know if she was one of the managers, but she was often tending the bar, and she had great taste in music. She was the one who played the music in the restaurant. So one night, David and I were sitting there eating dinner, and all of a sudden this song came on, and I was swept back to 1990, and I said, I know this song. Oh my goodness, I love this song. What is this song? Who sings it? Who's the group? I can't remember. I know I had the CD, And it was the last song on the CD. But for all of my CDs, of course, at that point I'd given away. I didn't know what it was. And so I was determined at the end to go ask Stephanie what the song was. But of course, the waiter came and took our order, and the conversation moved in another direction. And I got home and realized, oh, I forgot to ask Stephanie what that song was. Next thing I knew, Mirror had closed and Stephanie was nowhere to be found. And so I lost the song again. Until about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, in the depths of the lockdown, when, you know, you had to just make fun where you could find it, David and I were cooking dinner and listening to music, and a song came on. And it wasn't the song, but I knew it was the same group. And then I found out the group was the Stone Roses. I was like, that's it, that's it. Okay, let me look up on Spotify the CD they put out in 1990, the last song, there it was, 9 minutes long, called Fool's Gold. And I was like, I found my song. You can ask David. I was like jumping up and down in the kitchen. I was kind of embarrassed about how excited I was. Just the joy of finding this song that had brought me so much pleasure way back in the day, that I once had in my catalog but had lost, and now it's in my catalog again. So anytime I want to, I can go on Spotify and listen to Fool's Gold. It's pretty funky. I suggest you listen. Now, it's sort of a frivolous example, especially when you look at it alongside Jesus' parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin that we just heard Hazel read for us. But there's something about that experience that gave me a little bit of a glimpse into the joy that Jesus is talking about. The joy you can feel when you find something that you've lost. And of course, we know that Jesus is not so much talking about sheep and coins as he's talking about people. He's talking about finding people who have been lost, who have felt separated from God, separated from the faith community, and what it feels like when those people return and when they're found. This 15th chapter of Luke's gospel has three parables, actually. The third parable is one, probably the most famous parable Jesus ever told, of the prodigal son. And we'll look at that a little bit later this morning. So Jesus is talking about the joy and the celebration that happens in the kingdom of heaven when one who is lost has been found. But before we can get to that joy, before we can celebrate and join in the party, these parables invite us to think about what it means to be lost. What is it like for those people who feel lost? How do we get lost? One of the commentaries I read this week was talking about the behavior of sheep. And a sheep will get to eating its grass, just sort of focusing on its little patch of green, feeding itself, filling its belly, and just lose track of itself. And then at some point might look up and realize the flock is gone, the shepherd is nowhere to be found. And what a sheep will do in that circumstance is not cry out or bleat so that the others can find him. He'll just curl up in a ball and hide out of fear. And I wonder if we've ever had that kind of experience. If for some reason we've ever felt lost, cut off from God, cut off from other people, and all we can do is just curl up in a ball. There are lots of ways to get lost. A couple of them show up in this text this morning. We find out that Jesus tells these parables because there are tax collectors and sinners who are coming near, who are listening to Jesus and turning back to God because of the words that Jesus is offering them. But these are folks who are considered lost. They're not welcome in the synagogue. They're considered to be those who are far from God. The tax collectors, for example. These are Jewish men who have decided to work for the Roman government, who have turned on their own people to collect taxes on behalf of the oppressive empire. And so among their people, they are outcast. especially because many of them charged a little extra so that they could line their own pockets. And so by their own actions, by their own choices, because they've been feeding on the grass of greed and securing their own power and making sure they had security in the Roman Empire at the expense of their own people, they have found themselves outcast and even far from God. Then we have the sinners. I don't really know what all that encompasses. It's a pretty broad word. But when I hear it, I think about those people who had been labeled as sinners. They had been considered by their behavior or just by who they were, that they were not worthy to belong to the people of God, that God certainly could not approve of them. And so the religious authorities labeled them sinners, lumped them all together. And so the grass that they had eaten all along the way was that being reminded and reinforced that they're not worthy, that they don't belong, that they're sinners, and they find themselves lost. There are other ways that we might get lost. I have a dear friend who recently lost someone that she loved very deeply. And I called to check on her, and she said, you know, I feel like I don't know what I believe anymore. I don't know where God is. I don't know myself anymore. Nothing makes sense. Her grief had just knocked her off her feet, and she felt lost and disoriented. Sometimes life happens to us, and we feel lost. We lose a job. We go through a divorce. A beloved institution begins to crumble. We go through a pandemic. The Twin Towers in New York fall. And we don't know where we are, we don't know what we believe, we don't know where God is, and all we can do is stand still and curl up in a ball. I know I've been lost like that. Maybe you have too. We can also get lost just by living our daily lives, just eating the grass that's in front of us, going through our routines, taking care of our responsibilities, and falling asleep to our own souls, not tending to our relationship with God, waking up one morning and just realizing, I don't know who I am anymore, and I don't know where God is. We can get lost like that too. The text also points to one more way to get lost. There are lots of ways, but the other one I want to highlight shows up in the text again in a surprising twist. So Jesus tells these parables because the tax collectors and the sinners are coming close to hear him. And on the other side are these religious leaders, some of the Pharisees and scribes, who aren't happy about it. They're grumbling. They're unhappy that there are sinners who are turning to God, that there are people who are leaning in to the word of life and finding mercy and welcome and compassion in Jesus. And by the end of these parables, we begin to wonder who really is lost in this scenario. Here are these people who think of themselves as good people, rule followers, always done what they're supposed to do. Of course God approves of them. Of course they're righteous. Perhaps it is their own sense of their own righteousness that keeps them from seeing that they're far from God, that they are lost. This is perfectly embodied in the parable of the prodigal son. There are some who call this parable the parable of the lost sons. Because yes, the younger brother gets lost. He goes off, takes his father's money, spends it all on gambling and drinking and dissipation. Then he reaches poverty and desperation and comes to himself and returns home. And his father's there, running out to meet him, wrapping his arms around him, welcoming him home. And then there's the older brother. The father starts having a party because what he had lost has been found, and the older brother can't stand it. He is so angry and so resentful that his father would show mercy to the younger son, that his father would welcome the son back home, that his father would have a party. And I understand his frustration and his resentment, which invites me to consider, am I perhaps the one who's lost? And the parable ends with the older brother standing outside on the porch, and we don't know if he goes into the party or not. What we do know is that his father goes out looking for him too and says, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Come and rejoice with me. So these three parables lay out before us a little bit of bad news, a lot of good news, and an invitation. The bad news is that at some point along the way, we're going to get lost. It just happens. We're going to weave off the path. We're going to have those moments, those seasons even, when we feel separated from God, cut off from the people of God, feel like we've lost our way. But the good news is that God is a God who will never let us stay lost, who will always pursue us and seek us out, who will never, ever, ever give up on us or on anyone. That God is not satisfied with 99%. God will not rest until all of God's children are welcome at the table. And the invitation is to have that same kind of compassion and desire that God has. The invitation is for there to be a big party. Church should be a party every Sunday. And every time someone new comes in or someone who's been lost for a long time returns, the party gets louder and there's more celebration. There's a party going on in the church and everyone's invited. Thanks be to God.
As people invited to God's party, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join your voices together joyfully as we affirm our faith with our affirmation found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, we invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And so that we might pray for your prayer concerns, there are several ways that you can share those with our pastoral staff. One is to visit our website and click on Contact Us, and there will be a place where you can leave prayer concerns there. And if you're worshiping in the sanctuary, you may also find a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. Place your concern on that card and then put it in the offering plate as they make their ways down the pews in a few moments. This morning we lift up prayers of sympathy and remembrance with Bill Miller and his family, who are mourning the death of his sister, Elizabeth Piper, who died September 6th. Services will be held at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of ever-seeking love and grace, today we have been reminded that there is much rejoicing whenever that which is lost has been found. We pray that you will fix this truth at the center of our lives. Help us be aware of those persons who may need to be found, who may need to know a kind word, a caring touch, and a warm welcome. Make us channels of your finding, Spirit. Furthermore, we pray to be reminded that you always seek us out, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter what we have experienced. You are our companion, our guide, and our strength. You never abandon us. Lord of healing and restoration, on this day when we remember your ability to recover what has been lost, we are reminded that it is also the anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy. For so many of us, that is a day we remember vividly as a moment of great loss, a massive loss of innocent life, a loss of our sense of safety and well-being, a loss of faith in our fellow humans. That tragedy and the many events that followed still shape our world today in profound ways. We pray for all that was lost on that day, and we pray that you will continue to help our world find peace and mutual respect for one another's lives and dignity. And now we lift up our many personal prayers and petitions in a moment of silent prayer. As people who have been found by your abiding love, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we prepare to give our tithes and offerings. We simply invite you to give as you feel led and as you are able. If you're worshiping with us online, you may give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to the God who loves us unconditionally.
My friends, I think there's a little bit of heaven going on. There's a little party going on right here, right now. We are those who have been found. Let us never forget the joy of being found. And let us never hesitate to share that joy with others who need to know that they're found and loved. Go in Christ's peace with that mission. Amen.